Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
And welcome to the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jessica Balboni.
I'm Robert Neguesco. Happy August.
Happy August. However, today is still July. It's July Saturday.
But you won't hear this today.
No, you won't.
But well, it'll be today for you.
But it'll be tomorrow for us.
Your today. It'll be your today.
Yes. Today is the 31st of July. That's okay. When we're recording this. And then whenever I edit it, it'll be up sometime next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Possibly, hopefully Monday this will come out like it used to.
Looking forward to it. Hearing some feedback from my first episode. I like that.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for giving us feedback. Thank you especially to Alvaro Martinez Bueno from Nice House on the Lake. We really appreciate you listening and all of that. That was very nice.
Yeah,
wasn't expecting
cool.
It, so...
Not at all.
Yeah.
Great segue. We can go right into it.
We can go right into it. I guess we won't catch up at all. We'll catch up later, guys. It's fine. It's been a long couple of weeks, or 3 weeks, whenever we last recorded. So we'll get right into it. We do have 4 books that we're going to go over today, and then a bunch of news to talk about. So we did read Nice House on the Lake. This actually came out... 2 weeks ago, I want to say.
I think so, yeah.
Something like that. Looking forward to book 3 now as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Nice House on the Lake, number 2 from DC Black Label.
What's this guy? Is he the pianist?
The musician?
The musician, maybe?
Something, yeah. Does it even say in the first part? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't remember him mentioning it. Anyway, he is a pianist, and yes. He is a musician.
Yeah, and we also find out that probably the first part of each book is probably going to be narrated by a new person as well, which is not what I was thinking. I thought it was just going to be...
The artist.
Yeah, the artist.
I forget her name, but...
Yeah. Each chapter is going to be narrated by a new one of the characters, which is cool. I like that, actually. We're going to get each person's side of the story.
Yeah, it is cool. And it's interesting seeing the artist from a slightly different perspective, you know? It just creates an interesting context to the whole thing that's going on.
Yeah.
And I am looking forward to seeing how everyone is reacting to all of this, because, how this guy reacts is not at all how she is at all.
No.
this guy is... he's an insider. He's like a Walter insider,
right? Yeah, definitely. And also you see too right away how people are reacting to Walter, and some of them really miss him already,
yes.
Immediately, where I would be like, fuck Walter.
yeah. This guy in particular, it was his friend. We get a little flashback scene just like in the first one with the when they're meeting in the bar and start talking about the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
This is him basically showing the bond he has with Walter.
Yeah.
I like that, even though Walter's some sort of whatever Walter entity. Is, entity yeah. from another dimension. I like mm-hmm. how, like, in college, he's, like, drawn a little bit, like, huskier, you know? Like
very yeah.
human-like, you know? Definitely. Whereas, like, in my head, I wouldn't have thought to do that. I would have been like, Walter looked like Walter. But it's right. like, no, he... A believable person.
Yeah, and maybe he does that to bend to each person, right? That's how he kind of gets under their skin or gets close to them.
I didn't even think about that, but that is possible.
Yeah.
Just some shout-outs of some references in this amazing, like, it's not a full-page double-page splash, but it extends across two pages mm-hmm. Along the top, and it's like their messy dorm room.
Right.
Which, and it's like the most authentic dorm room I've ever seen in a comic ever.
Definitely.
And it's like, you know, knowing their age, they were probably in college in like 2008, 2009. So we have like a Dark Knight poster, which is probably in everyone's. There's a lot of Batman references, I'm assuming because of a certain.
Oh, yeah.
Batman writer, maybe?
Possibly.
Maybe completely unrelated. But yeah, there's like a. There's a Batman and Robin comic. Looks sitting on top of a manga. I couldn't figure out which one that was. There's a Batman poster.
Mm-hmm.
They're reading Akira. Akira is
It's
on right. the like spread open onto the page with the where the bomb goes off.
Yep.
And then there are comics
like
kind
everywhere.
Of everywhere. Yeah. Oh, what is that? Who's that? There's a Flash.
Mm-hmm. We have to get all our DC comics spread out in there. There's a lot of little Easter eggs.
Yeah, Cartman uh-huh. Cup. Anyway, I just thought all the detail in that panel is like super cool.
Yeah.
And
then we get to the like it's kind of like I'm going to compare it to Hickman because it is very Hickman like when he gets to all of his like transcript pages too on the next.
Yeah,
page.
Various transcripts or emails or whatever. It seems like they're not. I like that they're not going overboard with it. It's like one or two pages in each issue.
Yeah.
But at least these two issues seems like pretty similar structure, where it's like we start with them apparently after some apocalypse has happened. Like in the first one, same thing. It looked like everything was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still in the place with all the statues, and then they're just kind of talking about the past. Then we cut to the flashback. Mm-hmm. Then we get a little bit of the like you were talking about the textual
yeah and it's stuff. Like a security transcript is what I've gathered because on like a few pages later you can see like a security camera and then it's a transcript like and it's like an old printout like it has like the I don't know the printer paper with like it's like from the 90s
yeah,
right
the holes
on the side of it yeah
and it is a good way I mean essentially this brings us up to speed with what happened in the previous issue. I thought it was a pretty cool mm-hmm. way to do that, to see, like, what happened immediately after he blew up, Nora's...
Hand.
Hand. Yeah. Like, and then we see everyone, like, arguing amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Crosstalk. Unintelligible.
Right.
I like all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you get the title page, which a lot of the comics we're talking about today are doing that now, it seems. Like,
yeah.
the double page, the title page.
Yeah.
I did count, and I was like, is this in lieu of comic pages? No.
No.
It doesn't seem like. So I'm like.
Oh. Yeah, sometimes it is. This one, it's not.
Yeah, no.
And you also get to see, too, if the artist is drawing the symbols for each person, I think, now. Which we still don't really know why that is. But it's a little curious.
It's a puzzle that mm-hmm. she seems to be trying to solve something, like. I mean, it's just, you know, drawings and stuff, but in my head, I'm like, if you keep going with this, you're going to have a bulletin board with red string.
Yeah.
And tying and referencing and like, Walter brought bagels.
Yeah.
Bagels, what does that mean?
Exactly.
What does that mean?
Well, and there's like nothing else to do there, right? So.
True.
Except try to figure this out.
Well, except for enjoy yourself, yeah. which is what this, the guy, the protagonist of this one, the. Is he the pianist? Or
he
the...
must be.
Yeah.
Right?
he seems to be like just wanting to maybe blend in. But he also speaks to Walter.
Yeah.
We don't know what they talk about. We just know Walter comes to him. They mm-hmm. have a conversation. And then he's like, hey, maybe we should like, you know, do what Walter said.
Right.
Which is highly suspicious, obviously.
Definitely. So, yeah. This is a good follow-up issue, I thought. I know a couple people that have come in said they still need one more issue to be on board. But I don't. I'm definitely on board.
No, I mean, it's...
book.
I mean, it's honestly like a maturity of storytelling, like mm-hmm. that this one is like seems to be continuing the actual like logical conclusion of the story rather than being like, I gotta hook you again. Like mm-hmm. it's like you're either in or you're out, and like I'm fully in from the first issue, and this didn't diminish that.
No, and there's still a good hook, like at the end, I think as well. We don't really have to spoil it if you just want to read it. They find something at the end of the story. It's again like another big surprise. We don't really know what they're going to use these things for, why they're there. But it is pretty shocking.
It's super horrific.
Yeah.
I mean, there's multiple spoilers in this. There's some interesting stuff that does ramp up.
Yeah.
I also like the, they go to the, like, we also kind of begin to understand that, like, this isn't just some house that Walter was like, hey, you'll all like this house. This is a place absolutely... down to the last detail, designed for them.
Right.
And seems to be adhering to some sort of magic or technology we don't understand. Like, one of the characters talks to Nora, and Nora mentions, like, yeah, when I finish this pack of smokes, there's probably going to be a pack of smokes waiting for me.
Right.
Like, all this stuff is going to replenish. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen that yet, but they're hypothesizing it, and it's like, everything is designed for them. Like,
right.
One of the characters, they go to the library, and it's like, all the books that Walter ever recommended to her the entire time they've ever known each other since they were young. Like, all there. The ones that she didn't read, though.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. It's also some weird sense of humor on his part. Like, mm-hmm. Well, now you have nothing to do, so you better read those books I recommended to you.
Right. And I'm sure there'll be movies and archives of that as well.
Wizard of Oz. Yeah. Love and Explosives.
That's creepy.
Yeah, it's Love and Rockets, though,
right?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, probably.
And then there's
Sandman.
Something Bullets, but it doesn't say Stray Bullets, but it's clearly the font.
Yeah.
From Hell.
Yeah.
Sandman is Sandman because this is a DC comic.
Yeah.
But the other ones are a little more vague. I
right.
guess. Love and Explosives.
Luckily, there's lots of comics.
Yeah.
At least they won't be that bored, I guess. Scared, but not bored.
Yeah, I mean, without spoiling, I don't know how much to go into it. I just, it continues what we're doing. It kind of gives us a better sense of what the series is going to be, like changing protagonists.
Mm-hmm. I think we're just all on board for this.
Four thumbs up. I have two hands.
Well, continuing our horror theme. Is that what we're going on?
Let's do that.
All right. This also came out, I think, the same week that Nice House came out.
Tales Told in Technehorror.
Technehorror.
Season 1.
Mm-hmm. And this is from Black Caravan. This is Scouts, I guess, more indie titles.
Oh, okay.
Which, I mean, they're already kind of like an indie company, so...
More indie.
But, I mean, the paper stock on the cover is awesome. Written
and lettered by, apologies if I mispronounced, Kayarn Kaghan, mm-hmm. and illustrated by Christian Dabari.
Right. And colored by Simon Goff.
Yeah.
When I ordered this, I thought it looked awesome. They did a great job on just the cover art.
Yeah. It's a horror anthology.
Yeah.
There are five stories in there.
Five stories. Just three, but five.
Yeah, I like it because, I mean, some of them are just like 4 pages long. The first one is only 4 pages. They each get their own like sort of title page.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the gimmick with it is that it's supposed to be like a movie. Like we're seeing a movie or something, like an anthology film.
Right.
Or something like that because the first page is like... Does it look like a movie marquee?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Screen 3, Roots mm-hmm. of Evil. Screen 4, 1,000 Teeth.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. And they're pretty effective little stories, too.
Yeah.
Each one.
Definitely.
Some of them, I think, could be a little bit longer. But even the first one, I really like. But it's like, it's over so fast.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, I'd like a little bit more.
I thought the first one actually was really good because it was just like the hook one.
Right.
And it's like, I don't need to know about what this guy's... Okay, so the first story is called In Cold Pursuit. It's about some sort of marine biologist or something, scuba diving under the water and finding this new, like, fish form, which is, I'd be pretty scared anyway.
Yeah.
It's much larger than, like, it looks about the size of an elephant.
Yeah, it's huge.
And he's like, oh, wow, this is fascinating. This is a trend in this comic that I'm like, where people are like, not adhering to logic that I would.
Right, yeah. Maybe he's used to seeing very scary underwater creatures, I guess.
Yeah. And he talks about how it's similar to other fish that he knows
right.
of. And it's like, but that was crazy because that would mean that this one would just be an infant. And right. then we turn the last page and it's like, that means the other one would be much bigger, but that's absurd. And
right, and then you see a giant, yeah. giant mouth.
Full page splash, great use of full page splash.
Right, and it looks almost like a skull too, which is really cool as well.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. I don't know how we're not going to spoil these because they're yeah. so short. It, right. You're going to kind of spoil them.
Yeah. Yeah, and the second story is like a, almost looks like, oh my god, why did I just blank out on the Mars movie? Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh,
Total
oh.
Recall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Imposter looks, syndrome. Is
yeah.
what it's called.
Mm-hmm. It definitely has that whole feel of the Mars look from Total Recall.
Yeah. The art in this whole book is like pretty incredible. Like, I'm super on board with the way it looks and everything.
Yeah, this almost looks like colored pencils.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's like a digital effect they're doing or what, but it does, like, yeah, have that sort of canvas like.
Mm-hmm. Like pencil-y feel.
Feel.
This one's only like, oh, maybe it's more than 4 pages.
This one's, yeah, a yeah. little longer. But this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
He's like all mad that he's out there with a bunch of sand while the other scientists are like making discoveries.
Yeah.
And then he finds literal life on Mars for mm-hmm. the first time. Weird, creepy little black space bugs. And he's like, cool, let me touch them.
Yeah. What?
Who? What? Huh? You want your discovery that bad?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Obviously, that's why he is the Sandman.
Yeah. I'm questioning why he's on Mars at all.
Yeah.
Maybe this is Jeff Bezos. Let's hope so.
Let's hope it is, because and that's why.
He gets eaten by space slugs.
Yes. And the good twist about this one is that the space bugs immediately take his brain over, and they're like, This is our home, and they like start walking
yeah.
back to their science lab.
And I do like the what if of like, oh, well, this kid's gonna kill all those other scientists, but mm-hmm. like how and why and how, like, yeah,
yeah. And there could be a good continuation to the story.
Yeah, that's wanted. The other thing. I can't tell if like they will continue any of these, or if the next whatever issue 2 will just be a whole new batch of short stories,
right. Yeah, and I know, like, in the back of the book, they have, like, I think they actually say somewhere, I knew there was somewhere, there was, like, another thing, like, maybe they're going to have another book, or,
oh.
yeah, or maybe I just saw a solicit. Anyways, it was the same creators, and I think they're getting their own book.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, just, like, a complete book, so I don't know if it's going to be rooted in one of these stories.
Because, yeah, some of them could continue, and then some of them, it seems like it's just a one-off.
Right, exactly. The next story after that is Roots of Evil.
This is the one most of all that I wanted more of.
Yeah. Because like, it was so simple. It was just like, you know, the couple or the roommates are having an affair.
Yeah.
She finds out about it.
But she touched some sort of weird tree thing, and
right.
now her hand is turning into a tree, and she's like, it's kind of bad.
Yeah.
in this issue, just all the people being like, less freaked out than maybe I need to be because my hand is a tree.
Right. She just goes and takes a shower.
Yeah. Oh, and she's like, her body's giving away all, it's my veins are emptying themselves, making space for something else.
Right.
I'm not really concerned.
Yeah.
Because she's probably already the thing, the other thing.
Right. Yeah, they don't really go into too much detail of when she's, like, morphing. It's just she's turning into a Swamp Things type tree monster.
Super cool art. The transformation sequence yeah. is, like, super horrific. I was thinking, like, Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
She kind of looks like Martian Manhunter.
Oh, yeah, towards the end.
Blood.
Yeah.
But it seems like she touched some sort of strange parasitic organism that, like, you touch it, you become a plant creature, And then in my mind, trying to like make sense of this, I'm like, okay, she's going to go wreck shop for however long. And then when she's done, she's just going to go to the woods and become a tree until the next person touches it.
That makes sense. And
then can possess him again. That's kind of what, like, there's a similarity to the thing she found and then what she looks like. I could see it being...
Yeah, that would have been cool if they just, like, had, like you said, just walks out into the forest, becomes a tree, and then they could have ended it there. That's but unfortunate.
This one I could definitely have a sequel story.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Then we get a nice poster, movie poster, for the next one, which they could have done for each one, really. Are they all supposed to be movie posters, now that I think about it?
I guess, yeah.
But this one's, like, a legit
different style, poster. Though. That's the thing, like... Like, this, the Roots of Evil one has, like, a logo that's not in the rest of the book. The Technohorror logo. And it looks like some 80s VHS logo or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this one's done like a drive-in movie poster.
Yeah, this one's called 1,000 Teeth. And it actually has, like, a little rating at the bottom. And, like, this one actually looks like a movie poster, I think.
Comics, rated C, comics, strictly for those with strong love of horror.
Right. And this is kind of just, like, a classic swamp monster, but with gators. There was that movie, what was that called, with the gators that came out recently?
Old movie.
Lake Placid's old. No, this is, I saw it in theaters, too. Maybe it'll come to me. It was basically just about, they weren't like monster gators or anything. They were just, alligators that killed people after a hurricane.
Oh, yeah. I saw the trailer for that. There's like the house is flooding and there's like gators coming in through the windows and stuff.
Yeah, it was really good.
Very scary.
It was very scary.
Just gotta say.
Yeah.
And I don't need gators coming in my windows.
And it was, it was very effective. And so this just reminded me of that until the end, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, we're spoiling all of these, so...
Yeah.
There's a massive gator, bigger than anything fathomable, and she's like, ain't nothing killing me, but... She pulls out her pistol to blow her own brains out, and she's too slow.
She is too slow.
That gator eats her. Uh-huh. I mean, same difference, though.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
I still think that would be a worse death.
Probably, yeah.
By getting bitten in half, you might still survive.
Like 12 more seconds of agony.
That movie is called Crawl, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Sure. The next one's called Unsafe. This reminded me a lot of Hellraiser.
It was totally Hellraiser.
Literally just Hellraiser.
Yeah, which is fun, but this was the one that felt the most... derivative, I guess, to me.
Yeah.
It's like a safe cracker trying to crack this safe in an abandoned building, which is absolutely the stand-in for the puzzle box.
Exactly.
you know, just weird object with weird, strange symbols on it that it takes days to crack leads to portal of, you know, other dimensional demons.
Right. And I was like, out of all of them, I was like, this is the one you end on, guys. Like, put this in the middle.
Yeah.
End with one of the stronger ones.
It is cool, though. I do like what we see of the, like, this other realm sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I liked the art, and I thought the demons looked cool. But other than that, I was like, a little weaker.
We get these pinups, which are great.
The pinups are great. I love the ad at the end for the Technahar method, which was really funny.
I didn't even read it.
You didn't read it.
Quick kicking sand in our face, jackass. Oh, it's like a parody of those, Atlas bodybuilder,
And instead, you just become a zombie from reading too many Technahar comics.
Okay, I'm in.
So it's pretty fun. They even give you a little coupon to cut out. I recommend not actually doing that, since I don't think it will give you anything. I think it just, does it promise you your soul or something?
I promise to support Technahorror and follow the creators. Otherwise, I understand horrible things will be sent to my address. Give them your address.
Give them your address. Maybe you'll get something. Maybe buy two copies so you don't ruin one of your comics.
Is this a monthly? Because, I'm definitely going to read the next one.
It's definitely not a monthly because I have not ordered another one.
Okay.
So, but when we do get a chance to order something else, I will do that.
Yeah, Tales Told in Technohorror, Season 1.
Season 1.
Pretty cool.
It was very good. Next, we have,
The last book you'll ever read.
The last book you'll ever read. Another horror comic.
in the long line of sentences that are titles now. Mm-hmm. We're in the era now.
We're in the era. Is an effective title. I will give them that. Mm-hmm.
I did read Amazing Fantasy after this, though, so... Yeah. It is slightly false.
Yes, I did. I also read Amazing Fantasy after this. So this is by Cullen Bunn and artist Layla Lays, who was hot on the scene this month. Actually, she did two books out. She also did the Mom comic, Mother of Madness.
Yes, yes. That's big time.
Big time. That
Amelia Clark.
Amelia Clark, thank you. I was not getting words out.
Coming to a television streaming platform near you, I'm sure.
I just thought it was funny. It was called Mother of Madness, Mother of Dragons. You know they did that shit on purpose.
I didn't think about that. But yeah, I mean, probably.
All right. So basically this book is about a writer who writes a book called Seder, and the book makes people crazy, supposedly. Right? That's the...
Yeah.
Summing it up very lightly.
I guess the theme of it is that, like... I mean, the first line of the book, civilization is a lie. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it is... I mean, it's about how civilization is some, like... I mean, almost like some papier-mâché mask or something sitting on top of, like, the truth, which is that we are crazy feral monsters.
Yes.
But, I mean, honestly, I liked the theme that they were going for more than the comic itself. Because, like, I do think about that a lot. Like, how close we're on the brink of anything at any given moment. Just because we're crazy apes that have jet fighters and bombs and machine guns and stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, just recently we had a pretty bad societal issues, right? Yes. And so...
This is definitely touching on all of that.
Yeah. However... I don't know. The way they played it out in this first issue didn't quite hook me. Yeah. I thought the art was a little inconsistent, for one. Some of the panels were just hard to follow. There was one just almost in the middle where after a couple of the first scenes of people going crazy after reading the book or attacking her, even at her like book signing, there's one where she's going to the police department. And she's, like, staring at first at herself in the mirror, and then she sees, like, crazy red eyes, and then she's, like, turning her head, and her face is getting, like, old, or there's, like, a demon, and she's, like, turning around. It was very hard to follow. I had no idea what was happening in these panels.
Yeah, I read it twice, and skimmed through it the second time, and it made a little more sense on that level. I mean, it seems like some sort of demonic entity has possessed her or something, and she's just, like, ignoring it or doesn't see it, I guess.
Okay.
That's what I got out of it. Like, that's why she's seeing that in the mirror, and it's like, we see that, maybe she doesn't, but maybe she does, and she's just like, gotta write my book. Like, okay. I don't know.
Or she has to go on tour, or... Because there's stuff she's talking about later, but why? I didn't feel like there was much to grasp there.
Yeah.
Or, like, what she's doing. Her character wasn't very consistent.
No, no. I didn't get
a lot of feeling out of it.
Neither did I.
Which is unfortunate, because Cullen Bunn's actually a really good horror writer. So I was surprised.
Yeah. By that. Yeah, I know. I like stuff, too. I guess at the end she gets her new, like, security agent or something who is, like, not allowed to read the book because that's what causes people to go ballistic, but let's still print millions of this book.
But they don't actually know. They're like, oh, maybe it's not the book, you know.
But she knows, because she's like, you are not allowed to read my book.
Right. Exactly.
It doesn't
make sense.
It was not my favorite.
And the people are turning into zombies and literally eating, like, their spouses, too.
Yes, that's how it ends.
Yeah, so...
A guy eats his wife and then reads the book.
Right, again.
Again.
Okay. Lastly, we have Amazing Fantasy. Let's move from something we didn't really like too much to something we really did like.
Loved it.
From Marvel Comics, Amazing Fantasy by Kari Kyle Andrews, who wrote and drew this,
Yeah, super impressive.
It's beautiful.
Considering the multiple styles that are in play.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 1 out of 5, so this is a miniseries.
Yes.
Definitely going to be adding it to my pull list.
Oh, yeah. I was shocked at how much I loved this book, actually.
Yeah, yeah. There's some great moments.
Yeah. And I, you know, this was, yeah, just let's get into it because it was great. Okay. So this starts with Captain America.
1943.
Mm-hmm. So World War II Captain America.
Never, hasn't been frozen yet.
No.
And he's on a, what, a U-boat? Or,
Yeah, he's out at sea, you know, helping the soldiers out. Then they get, you know, bombed. Then he gets lost at sea, basically.
Yeah, sad moment.
Sad moment.
Because like, he promised, there's Smitty. Yeah. Smitty has a new baby on the way.
Mm-hmm.
You can call me Cap, Smitty, and you can keep calling me Cap when you're holding that new baby of yours. That's a promise. Then, boom, boom.
Yep.
No, I promised them all.
Yeah, so he's trying to save everybody, and then suddenly he wakes up on the shores of some kind of tropical island.
Big beard.
Big beard, long hair, all withered.
So it's been a long time. Yes. I mean, like, that's the first... if he didn't have the big beard, you could be like, oh, he just washed up on shore because he's Captain America. He didn't die, they died.
Right.
But he's been, like, unconscious, apparently, for...
For a while.
Long enough to grow a month-long beard or something.
Yeah, he looks like Thor.
Yeah, he really does.
And then, like, a giant, like, griffin, basically, comes down. Griffin?
Yeah.
Lion?
A lion with wings.
Oh, no,
wings.
Not a griffin. A griffin has an eagle head.
Yeah. What is that one just a lion with wings?
It's just a lion with wings, I guess, yeah. Because I don't even think he has claws like a griffin. Yeah, so it's just a lion with wings. An eagle lion.
He's angry, but he's a kitty. And
yeah. Cat seems to be able to talk to him.
But then a giant dragon rips him out of it, and he's like, not so fast, fellas, break it up.
Yeah, he's very Cap.
Yeah, which is like, you know, solid Cap writing, you know. It's easier said than done to have a bunch of characters, protagonists in a book, and have them have unique voices. And I think that, like, it's easy to get caught up on the art in this, which is awesome, but the writing is actually... good too, like it hooked me.
Yeah, he gave each parts like really great voices. Like when the next part we get into the Soviet Union and we see Natasha with the Red Room.
Mm-hmm.
And like their voices just like stood out. Like I could read their voices in their characters, you know, which is really, really good for a writer to do, like pull you into that story, you know.
Absolutely. And yeah, this is a teenage, I mean, it looks like she's teenage. Maybe like, I have no idea, but she could be like 14 or something.
I think she's a little older than that.
Maybe.
I hope so, anyways. She's pretty sexy.
yeah, maybe. I don't know. Some of the times she looks like a little kid. But,
I think she's just short, right? I hope.
Maybe. I like her in the all black with the ski mask and the just her red hair coming after her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basic. So, I mean, these are alternate timelines, right?
Right.
Cap, this didn't happen to him, and this didn't happen to her. She tries to escape the Red Room. Yeah. It's a trick, and she's killed for it.
Yeah, it's a test.
Yeah, and then she failed.
Yeah, she fails the test, and she gets shot. Then we go to Spider-Man. Again, it's completely different art style, but it looks just like, you know, 60s Spider-Man. He's fighting Green Goblin.
I really like the just strange effect on these buildings. They're very like abstract buildings in the background, but
yeah,
I'm like a big fan of it. They're like pink and yellow and orange, like not realistic at all. It's fine.
It's really cool looking though. He gets pumpkin bombed like out of nowhere. And then he wakes up in a pot, like in a cauldron.
like Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
Or something like that, in a giant pot, tied up, getting turned into soup in the process of it.
Yeah.
One of them, there's a bunch of little, like, monsters, creatures, frog people.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of eagle people as well come down to save him, sort of.
The frog one that's like, back in the pot. And he's like, no.
Yeah, he's all very Spider-Man.
Like, why would you do that?
And he starts, and he, you know, does his Spider-Man thing where he, you know, smart talks them. And again, everyone has their very clear voices. And then we go back to Cap. Cap looks kind of like, Kazar now.
Yeah. And I thought of ElfQuest.
Oh, ElfQuest, yeah.
Because there's a elf-like woman and some orcs and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, we don't need to, like, spoil the whole thing, but... Or we can, I don't know.
This is fine. We can kind of end it, like, wrap it up here.
Yeah, so it's those seem to be our three protagonists. Captain America, Black Widow, and Spider-Man. They wake up. Each one of them has their own little storyline. They wake up in a different place on, it seems like, this same sort of weird fantasy island or something.
Yeah.
But not like Fantasy
Island. But not like Fantasy Island, which is going to be a show again.
that's an odd choice, but okay.
I wish it was this Fantasy Island. That would be very fun.
Yeah, and there's a touching moment at the end, a good hook, and then, it ends with, now that you're here, we can begin, and we don't know. Mm-mm. What is going to begin?
I don't know, but the next cover... for the next issue is absolutely amazing, and I cannot wait.
There's super psychedelic. Giant, Spider-Man.
Giant snake monster in Spider-Man. It looks so Frazetta-y. Like,
yeah. Yeah, basically so awesome. Frazetta torn suit Spider-Man battling an underwater space alien snake or something.
Yeah. So cool.
I see Richard Corbin in it.
Oh, yeah.
I see Frazetta in it. Like, mm-hmm. Definitely pulling this whole stuff, all this whole series from, like, 1970s, like,
oh, yeah.
Fantasy and barbarian comics.
Definitely. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And we're back.
Hello.
Hello.
I almost did a jingle there.
Dun, 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 dun. We'll add the other jingle later.
All right. Do you want to get into first?
There's a lot to get into. I guess since it's fresh on our mind and we just watched it, there's a new Ghostbusters trailer, Ghostbusters Afterlife, with Paul Rudd and a bunch of other people. Like
Finn Wolfhard.
That's his name?
Yeah.
The kid from Stranger Things?
Yes.
Okay.
I only know because he was in It.
Oh, yeah.
As It.
He played It.
Yeah. In 15 years.
And, right. I don't know. He's getting so old. He could have at this point.
I know. It is crazy when these child actors, it's like, the ones that like are in a bunch of movies, it's like, you have to do a bunch of movies every year because this does not last long.
Right. And like, it's, I mean, I don't know when they finished rapping on Ghostbusters, but I mean, how do they keep that kid from like growing 5 inches?
Yeah.
Like, he definitely hit puberty at this point.
And they're like, you better not try and get pickup shots.
Right.
Like, you better, we're getting it all now because if we come back in 4 months, he's going to be like 4 inches taller.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I even know, like, they're filming a new Stranger Things right now as well.
Oh, okay.
It's the last season, I think. I mean, it has to be, because those kids are in college now.
And,
I mean, like, the only one that looks, like, the same age is the girl, the redhead girl, who's also in the Fear Street. And she's, she still looks the same age. But the rest of the boys, like, all look, like, 20 years old now.
Yeah. Sprouting up. But anyway, the trailer looks, it looks good. I mean, in all honesty, I think it's more just like to bring in the next generation. I'll still watch it, I hope.
Yeah.
I really like it. I'm not mad or even feeling any sort of way about that. It's like,
right.
I have my Ghostbusters movies.
Yeah. I think it looks really good. I mean, from the trailers. They're taking place in a small town, right? It's going to be kids instead of the ghost-busting adults, though they are bringing them all back, I think. Who knows how much
whoever's
they're going to be.
Whoever's alive.
Aw, sad.
I mean...
Everyone's alive, except for one.
Except Egon,
yeah. But his son is directing the movie, so...
Oh, it's his son?
Oh, wait, no. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's,
Should have looked it up. Mr. Should have looked it up.
That guy. Oh, now I feel really horrible. I should have this name in the bag.
It's in my brain somewhere.
Yeah,
but yeah, Aykroyd might come back.
I think they're all confirmed to come back in the movie.
Bill Murray's in the trailer.
Sort of. He's speaking on voice in the trailer when he picks up the red phone, right? Or they have a red phone and he picks up on the other end.
Yeah, maybe he's still a Ghostbuster all this time.
Maybe. Maybe he's still doing psychic readings.
I
that's
hope
how he's making his money.
I hope he's a new level of fraud.
Yeah.
Because, he's an incredible fraud.
He is. That Bill Murray.
Just wrangling Bill Murray into a franchise thing of any kind. It's like, I'm sure that was difficult.
Yeah, definitely. Jason Reitman is the director.
Yes.
Yes. And
yes. Son of original Ghostbuster director Blank Reitman.
We're doing really good on remembering names.
I thought this was all in my brain, but you know.
Jacob is yelling at me right now. Ivan Reitman.
Yes.
There it is.
Both are great directors, though. I mean, Jason has done a bunch of really cool stuff. What did he do that, like, Up in the Air? He did a bunch of movies.
Yes.
They're solid.
They're all, yeah. And I think he'll do a great job on this. Confirm the film stars. Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and Ernie Hudson. They're all going to be there. Cool. Sigourney Weaver, Annie Potts also will reprise their roles.
Was Annie Potts the one with the squeaky voice?
Secretary.
Yeah. No Rick Moranis, though, right?
I don't think so. Okay. No.
That's fair. That's fine.
Yeah, he's retired as an actor.
Hope you're good, Rick. Yeah. I know you're listening.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. I mean, keep that franchise alive. Who doesn't like ghosts? It's fun.
Exactly. And what's next? The news, let's talk about Nope.
Yeah.
Just get right into more spookiness.
Jordan Peele's third movie is follow-up to Us. They've released a poster and nothing else. No other information.
Yeah.
The poster gives us who's in the movie. We got Daniel Kaluuya, mm-hmm. Kiki Palmer, Steven Yeun.
Yeah, Steven Yeun's making a huge pitch for
a superstar. Guy's a superstar.
He is.
Sure. As far as I'm concerned, the second I saw him as Glenn, I was like, I love this guy.
Yeah.
And not just because he was Glenn.
No, just because he's very endearing.
Yeah, yeah. Right? And I saw Minari.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Yeah, which is just, I love him. I just want to, pinch his cheeks. He's cute.
And now Invincible, such a huge hit. Incredible. Too, and his voice is that. He was in this crazy horror movie I watched on Shudder 2 recently, where he just kills, everybody.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's got great presence. And to see him work with Jordan Peele, amazing.
What do we see on this poster? What do we think?
It looks like Colorado or something, like in the mountains, mm-hmm. little mountain town,
right?
And then we have like a cloud in the sky,
just like a single cloud,
super gloomy. This is like dark blue skies. This is nighttime. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a single cloud, no other clouds. It's unnatural.
Yeah, it's an unnatural cloud with like a kite string with flags on it something.
Or
we don't know, coming out of the cloud. Yeah.
Sort of thing with the circus flags, those little triangle colored, multicolored flags, mm-hmm. on a rope. That's getting sucked up into the cloud, and then there's a little town, alight at night below it.
Yeah. Maybe it's Ben Franklin.
Yeah. I hope. So, I mean, right, he makes social horror films. Get Out was about race. Us mm-hmm. was about class. This one's about Ben Franklin.
Yeah. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
He's scary.
I figured it out.
He's pretty scary.
Franklin is scary.
Yeah.
He's electrifying the town.
Ooh. Yeah.
His kite.
There might be something there to that story. It might be some, I'm sure it's connected to America in some way.
Right,
and obviously that's one of our classic stories.
Yeah.
How some balding, overweight man put a key on a string and got struck by lightning. Definitely, that's exactly how it happened. Definitely, those are facts.
See, I got it. I know you, Jordan Peele. Into your head.
It also says at the very bottom, only in theaters on the date that it comes out.
All right, only. So.
This is next year. Next July.
So hopefully we won't be locked away without or only watching streaming things. It's not a Warner Brothers movie, take it, because I heard that Warner Brothers is still going to be streaming movies for the rest of the year as well on HBO, which a lot of directors are unhappy about.
Yeah. It's that whole topic I'm pretty torn on, because it's like, I love going to the movies. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to go to the movies, I don't want you in the theater either. Right. Like, go home, stay home. And like, no malice, honestly. Yeah. Like, stay home, watch it how you want to. I want people to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But the theaters rely on the money of the people who are like, well, Avengers is out.
Yeah.
I can only go see it in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
The theaters rely on that. And to keep them afloat, they need that. So I'm super torn.
Yeah. I'm not for certain movies. I had the best movie experience yesterday. I went and saw The Green Knight, which was excellent and definitely worth going to see in the theaters.
For sure.
And nobody talked throughout the entire movie. There was no cell phones. It was
lovely.
And it was at Hilltop. It was amazing.
Yeah, I've only gone back to two movies since then. We'll get to the other one, I guess, unless I want to segue right now into...
Yeah, let's segue.
Okay. Well, so first I saw Spiral, which I don't need to talk about that. It's fine. And then I saw Black Widow, which, because I have to. It's a Marvel movie, and these are fun. These are big events, and even though it was a theater with, like, three people in it,
mm-hmm.
I need to go to the theater and see it as, like, this event. It's a ritual that I very much enjoy, as I'm sure any of you listening do.
Exactly. Yeah. We want to say something like Black Widow should be seen on the big screen because of the action sequences.
Yeah.
Which were amazing.
Super cool. Super great action.
Yeah. I think Florence Pugh, like, totally stole the show in that movie. I mean, not taking away from Scarlett Johansson. She was great as well.
No, Florence Pugh.
Yeah, she was better.
Yeah. I mean, she stole it. Like, it's a weird position to be like it's the protagonist thing where it's like the other characters are allowed to be more interesting than you. I mean, it's most of the time that way.
Yeah.
Like Spider-Man maybe is like the exception, right? Because he's so crazy or whatever. But like most of the time, the protagonist is the most boring of the movie.
Right. Well, also Florence Pugh is going to be taking over the mantle, right? So maybe she should be more interesting because we want to pass it on.
Yeah, it's a torch passing film.
Exactly.
And she's good. She's very good.
She's good. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I first saw her in Midsommar.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that was her.
Yeah.
I saw that movie and I saw Black Widow, and then I was told after I saw that, like, that's the same person, you know? It's like,
Yeah. Also, one of my favorite things about that movie was that the women in the movie finally got to wear outfits that weren't super revealing the entire time, nor have romantic relationships.
No romantic relationships.
Yes.
Just killing people.
Killing people, killing kicking
sex
ass.
Traffickers and child soldier trainers. And
mm-hmm. And not wearing high heels while doing it.
Yeah, because that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, nor is it comfortable. Also, pulling their hair back while fighting.
Yeah, also makes sense.
They did all of these things.
Yeah, it definitely a step up. I don't know if we've talked about this. I don't think we talked about it on the podcast, but like, it does adhere to that whole, like, I have a slight issue with all these superhero movies in how they have the female protagonists. All their stories are always, like, not always, but often prequels or, like, side things. Or, like, I can't be the only one who's noticing this. Like, you know, Wonder Woman, all her movies are in the past. It's like Black Widow, it's in the past. Like, it's just this weird sort of trend. I want to see, I hope with like Captain Marvel and stuff, they start allowing the female characters to like push the universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I want to see that. Like a Captain America movie can push the universe forward.
Right.
But a female-led superhero can't have the important to the Marvel universe thing, like greater Marvel universe.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
Yeah. yeah, still none of the female superhero movies, including in DC Universe as well, have taken place in the present. None of them.
Except WandaVision, I guess.
Yeah.
Which, part of it was an illusion. Like, most of the what we watched was an illusion, so that's just another way to be like...
Right.
Oh, and Captain Marvel, right? The first Captain Marvel, also prequel, like...
Yeah. Yeah, none of them.
It creates, it lays groundwork in a way, but it doesn't push any, it's just like, oh, the Skrulls were always here. Oh, this was always here.
Right.
Oh, the Red Room was always here. Yeah. And I like that stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping with the Marvels, right, we have three super powerful female characters. I'm hoping that will be a step forward for the universe.
I'm pretty sure that's still supposed to take place in the future.
In the future? Or the past?
Yeah, it's not even supposed to take place still in the present.
Okay, well...
We'll see.
Then. I don't know that yet. I'll be very disappointed.
Yeah.
I just want to see, like... It's like this weird thing where they're getting sidelined without getting sidelined. It's like, oh, you want your movie? Okay, fine, but...
It's not
you don't have to see these ones.
Yeah.
Guys, fellas, you don't have to watch Black Widow to understand... of Captain America or Avengers 4.
Exactly. It's just a sideline. Yeah, like you said, and it just doesn't have any impact on the rest of it.
Yeah, which is, it's weird. I don't know. I don't like it. But this, I mean, as it exists as its own, the movie, it was fun. It was cool.
Yeah.
I like the Red Room.
Mm-hmm. Red Room is cool.
You will never escape the Red Room.
I guess the biggest, I know a lot of people had problems with Taskmaster. I did not care because I don't really care about his character.
Are we gonna spoil that, or should we?
I mean, it's been out
about it.
If you don't want to listen to us spoiling who Taskmaster really is, then jump ahead 5 minutes.
Yeah,
we'll give it 5 minutes.
Let's do that. Yeah, I mean, in the comic, he's what is his name? It's something Masterson or something that. Anyway, it's essentially the same exact thing. It's just in the plot of the film, Black Widow, one of her, like, or maybe her greatest sin is that in order to kill the guy who started the Red Room, she puts a bomb in his daughter's backpack, I believe.
Yeah.
And then the daughter goes into the office and then she blows it up.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler, but yeah, that guy didn't die and neither did the daughter. The daughter seems to have had her mind wiped, and she is now Taskmaster, which is some sort of mirror fighter who just needs to fight with someone, gains their powers, but she doesn't seem to have any personality of her own.
Right.
Until she, like, shatters it at the end or something.
Yeah, until her mind control is gone.
Yeah. Which, of course, the Black Widow saves her.
Yeah,
right. Because she's the one, but I mean, she's the one who created her. She has scars on her from the burns.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that was pretty heavy, I thought.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, the whole concept of the Red Room, in a way, this was kind of the heaviest of the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, and then that's why I liked what they did with that character, because it was actually interesting.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people's points was that, well, it didn't have to be the Taskmaster. And it's like, yeah, but they can change things. It doesn't always have to be.
They
change stuff all the time. They change stuff in the comics all the time. They adapt it. That's the point. And then, you know, the outrage on all of the mess was just, but he's so cool because he has this whole past and that's his character is so cool. It's like, okay.
And you thought it was cool until he took off his helmet and it wasn't a he. But you thought it was cool the whole time.
Tony Masters is,
like, it was the Samus thing.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, okay, suited figure, must be a guy. Oh, it's a chick. I'm mad.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess. Didn't matter to me. I mean, like, whatever. I do know one person who I will hear his legitimate gripe. My buddy, his dad's name is Anthony Masters, which is the name of the character.
Right.
He was disappointed.
Yeah.
And I'll give him that. Just him, though.
Right.
Because he wanted, it's like, okay, I get that. There's a superhero with my exact name.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And there's also like 2 or 3 iterations of the character. So he could still come back at another point and be like, oh, I'm actually the Taskmaster.
Can't there
like,
be multiple Taskmasters? Yeah. And then they pit them against each other and then they're just learning from each other and they get caught in a loop.
See, that's fun. And now, because of Loki, there are multiple timelines. So really, there could be variants. Yeah. Let's talk
Anthony
about.
Anthony Masters might show up anyway. Yes. But yeah, let's talk about some other dimensions.
Let's talk about that. We have a whole new multiverse.
Yeah. If you skipped ahead to this point, we're probably going to spoil Loki anyway. You should just, like, watch those things and then listen to this.
Yeah.
But keep listening.
Keep listening. Well, hopefully you've watched Loki by now. Because it's been over for a long time now.
Yeah. It's great. I really liked Falcon Winter Soldier. I really like Loki. Loki might be my favorite experience of the whole thing.
Yes.
Maybe depends on the mood, but I'm definitely like, and Loki was not, I was hesitant about the show. I'm like, how can Loki support this whole show? I don't care about Loki's character that much. And all of that gets thrown out the window because I love Loki now.
Yeah. It was very different than what I thought it was going to be. Like, I thought it was just going to be, like, Loki traveling around to, like, different...
Quantum Leap with Loki.
Exactly, Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
Which I know a lot of people did not want to see.
I do. Let me know if you want to remake Quantum Leap. I'm all in. Like, I can write that. That is awesome. A great idea.
I did love Quantum Leap when I was a kid. Me and my mom used to watch it. Scott Bakula.
Yeah. That's why I watched Enterprise. I was like, I know that guy. But it's cool. It was a great concept for a show with, you know, a continuing narrative, but having... you know, short stories, each episode being a short story.
Right. But we don't get to see that in Loki. And we talked about the first two or three episodes, I think, before.
I think so.
So let's just get to the conclusion. The conclusion of Loki, which is a big deal.
Yeah, what is the place called? At the center of time?
I don't remember.
It's a crazy spire, rock castle floating in the middle of nowhere, in between dimensions sort of thing. And they finally found this place where the Time Lords are supposed to be.
Right.
Of course, we're thinking already that the Time Lords aren't real.
Yes.
And they multiple swerved us.
They did.
It's like, oh, it's going to be Kang. Oh, no, it's too obvious. It's not going to be Kang.
It's because it's going to be another Loki.
Yeah, it's going to be Kang. No. No, it was Kang.
It was definitely Kang. And yeah, actually, it was funny. The night before I watched it, like, a customer had come in and they asked me who I thought it was me. And I was like, it's going to be Kang. And they're like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm pretty sure it's just going to be another Loki. It's just too obvious to be Kang. And I was like, it has to be Kang.
Yeah.
If it's not.
I got you beat. Somebody came into the shop, bought a bunch of Kang back issues. And then I was like, oh, do you like the episode? And they're like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, you run all the Kang episodes. Like, did you like how they revealed Kang and Loki? And they're like, and then they got pretended to get mad at me for spoiling it. And they're like, I'm not doing that at all. I'm not doing that at all. And I'm like, okay, bud. The day after it premieres, you're buying a bunch of Kang.
All right.
But amazing.
It's so good.
Jonathan Majors, yeah. Like, just powerful. And the way this episode is directed, it's sort of like, in a way, like a stage play or something. Like,
oh, yeah.
One location, three actors, and that's about it. It's really just them in a room talking to him and talking about all of what we've been dealing with, kind of contextualizing it, and then leading to what we're going to be talking about in all the Marvel movies for, like, 5 years, right? Yeah. Like, this is our next Thanos.
Yep. Yeah, and there's so many iterations of Kang, too, and he's trying to explain that to, especially, well, Sylvie, because...
She's much angrier, and she has a right to be, because she had her whole life taken from her.
Right, exactly. And she's not going to listen, and we kind of slowly find that that's going to be the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great episode. And I'm very worried about what's going to happen to them in the future.
It's going to be crazy. Yeah, he kind of spends the whole time warning them about, like, he's basically like, I'm a bastard.
Mm-hmm.
All versions of me are. I'm the best version because I'm the one who is using my whole life to basically take all realities, form it into one reality so that you don't have to deal with other versions of me.
Right.
Which is obviously, like any good villain, they have a justification to their madness. I mean, it's like what he's talking about is like, you have no right to take all of reality and eliminate universes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody has the right to do that. Yeah. But to him, it's the greater good. This is what I have to do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you meet real evil king.
Right. You'll get the really bad ones. And multiple ones.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not just one, but multiple ones.
And this might be like Immortus King or something. He's very kooky because he's been cooped up in this weird castle for an eternity or something.
Yeah, and he's like Willy Wonka King.
Yeah, he's very fun. It's, and I mean, the most exciting part to me is like to get to see Jonathan Majors stretch and play different versions. Like, the next time we see King, he's not going to be like that. No. He's going to be scary.
Yeah.
Or he might even be a different version.
Yeah.
He might not even be, like, because he's going to be in Quantumania.
Right.
That might not be King the Conqueror.
Yeah. And that one comes out in December, I believe.
I don't know.
December.
That one might be next year.
Oh, that'd be next year. I'm sorry. Yeah, because Spider-Man comes out in December.
Yes. Also multiverse.
Multiverse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How they had to shift stuff, so it's interesting. Like, you can tell, because Eternals, Shang-Chi, and Black Widow were all supposed to come out before these shows. Mm-hmm. None of which touch on the multiverse.
Right.
And everything after that is multiverse.
Yeah.
So they clearly, their original plan was like, do the Shang-Chi, do the Eternals, do Black Widow, start the shows.
Yeah.
Then we're all multiverse.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they've added anything in to Shang-Chi or Eternals.
Yeah, to make them
make a little bit more sense in the new multiverse world. Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe, or maybe they don't need that. Or maybe
they don't need it because they're separate.
We're still ramping back up to the whole
Eternals,
thing.
Eternals, though. I don't know. It was kind of interesting. I rewatched Guardians, Volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have the whole hymn thing at the end. And it kind of made me think more on Guardians Volume 3, which got pushed to 2023 now because of the whole James Gunn
firing, rehiring
debacle.
And I'm going to make another movie in between.
Exactly. Yeah. And then also Love and Thunder is coming out now before Volume 3 is coming out.
Yeah.
Which was, it's very confusing because Volume 3 was supposed to come out before Love and Thunder.
Hey. It's their fault.
It is their fault.
Yeah.
But on the timeline, it's all messed up now.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how all that's going to work out. Because Thor's in Guardians.
Yeah, Thor's in Guardians.
And in Thor. I don't know if they had to change that stuff. Who knows?
Who knows? But is it all? But does Loki make it all make sense now? Is my point. Because there's all this multiverse of madness, we'll say now.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe.
Because it can all be on different timelines. Does it even matter anymore?
I don't know. Or is Marvel going to still try to stick to the strict continuity? Because, like, DC's still doing a multiverse thing. For them, it does seem like they're doing what I've hoped for a long time that they would do, which is, like, we can have three Batmans. It doesn't matter. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. I'll see two of them, and I don't want to see that third one. Whatever. Like, give me that.
Yeah.
And allow people to create self-contained works, which is kind of what DC Comics does better also.
Right.
Their miniseries are the perennial sellers, right? Like, Dark Knight Returns, it's just its own thing. It wasn't tied to continuity. It's better for it.
But they're even going to explain that now, too.
No, I know.
Flash forward, yeah.
But I hope, what I'm saying, though, is I hope Flash is the one that blows it all out.
Right.
So that every movie after this doesn't have to talk about the multiverse.
Right.
And we can just, this is a Batman movie, now Ben Affleck's Batman again. Cool.
No,
but I mean, the point is that there's multiple. You don't have to watch that one, right? Like, he'll be the Batman.
I will watch it. That's the problem.
And then you get to see a talking slab of wood in a bat suit.
God.
Sorry, Ben. I know you're listening.
Ugh, he's our biggest fan. Turns out.
He's going to pull our funding.
He only gives me $1 a month. Oh, God.
Loki was awesome.
Yeah, Loki was great.
Of course, the next thing of any Marvel stuff we're getting is What If, which is all multiverse. And I think it's a great setup for that. Because it leaves us wanting more of, like, what? I need more answers of the multiverse. Well, watch an anthology show now.
Right. And yeah. And that's the What If, yeah.
And this is a new territory because we have Disney doing animation.
Yeah.
But through Marvel.
Right.
I'm hoping because there's already a season 2, I'm hoping we get, like, that Disney animation.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I'm sure we will.
They all look similar.
The trailer looks amazing.
Oh, it looks great, but they all look similar animation style. I'm hoping as it continues, it's like, change the animation style for every one, because who cares, right?
Right.
If it's its own self-contained story.
Kind of like Love, Death, and Robots. Have you watched that? No. Oh, that's a show on Netflix. It's amazing.
No. Oh, okay.
Definitely check that out. Check that out, everybody. It's great.
Watch more cartoons, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They're good for you.
Yeah, so each one of those is done by a different art style.
Oh, okay.
And they're all based on Love, Death, or Robots. Or both. Or all three.
Or all three. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love an anthology style. I mean, like, I'm a huge, like, heavy metal fan or anything. And, like, I think animation lends itself to anthology better than anything.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Anything else for Loki? There's a ton of... I was going to say spoilers, but that's not right. Easter eggs and Loki as well.
Oh, definitely. Especially the second to last one when they're in the void.
The void. That's what it was called. And also in the very last episode, too.
Yeah, and go back, eagle-eyed viewers, and look for the Golden Gate Bridge. What reference is that made? That is a X-Men 3, The Last Stand reference, if I've ever seen one.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you are overtly referencing how Magneto ripped out the Golden Gate Bridge, and then I'm sure the TVA showed up and were like, no.
Yeah.
No. This never happened.
Oh, we got to see, well, Throg was like everyone's favorite, Thor Frog.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then they said Thor actually played him. Tom. I almost said Tom Hiddleston.
Hemsworth.
Yes, Hemsworth actually played. I'm like, what did he do? Like, just yell?
He went, rawr.
Rawr. Yeah.
Ribbit.
Also, for sound quality, I'm sorry if everyone hears my dog snoring in the background. I can't.
Yeah, no.
It was either her yell or her scream in the background from the other room, or let her snore quietly on the couch next to us.
They're pack animals. They don't want to be alone. Don't you leave a dog at home.
So, sorry about that, guys.
Anything else we need to hit?
Yep, let's talk real quick about Fear Street.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We have to... you didn't watch the last one yet, but no. We did talk about... Did we even talk about 1994?
Yeah, we did talk about that. 1994.
Okay. I don't remember that. Probably because I wanted to put it out of my head.
Yeah, I like 94 better than 78, but...
Yeah, I thought 1666 was okay at the end, but let's talk about 78 real quick.
Friday 13th Part 2 Light.
Right, Friday 13th Light. Camp Crystal, I also have on here Camp Crystal Lake knockoff. Yeah. My biggest problem with it, though, was the villain, which I called Sackhead, a.k.a. Tommy Slater was his actual name. Yeah, he just wasn't good enough, I thought, as the villain.
No.
He was pretty boring.
The deaths were relatively boring. Like, it's this interesting thing where it's like, I'm not mad that it exists. Yeah. I just think it's not for me. It's like the whole Guitar Hero debacle or whatever. It's not a debacle, but like, when it came out, there were so many metalheads that are like, oh, this is so dumb. It's not even the real songs. And I'm like, if it gets three kids to fall in love with metal, it's worth it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it's the same thing here. It's like, if that 1978 movie gets some kids to go back and watch some camp slashers, The Burning, any of that, it's worth it to me. Like,
yeah, totally.
Because I love those aesthetics. They just don't execute it as well as it could be done.
Right. And it was funny because when I was reading up on these, on the reviews, people like really love these movies.
Yeah, I think so.
And I was like, and it shocked me a little bit.
A little bit, but I also get it.
And like saying that 1978 was their favorite.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh?
But if you haven't watched all those movies,
yeah,
then it would seem like probably pretty cool.
But these are supposed to be film critics, right? Maybe they're not real. I mean, I don't know what their experience is with watching horror movies, maybe. Sure. But like, I would assume that the people they sent to review this would be question mark. I don't know.
I don't got a lot of faith in film critics as we're criticizing things right now.
I know, right?
Yeah. You don't have to have faith in me.
But okay, so I thought for the other villains in the movie, because basically if you haven't watched these yet, there's like a whole slew of like serial killers that have come back from the dead that are
tormenting Shady Side.
Yeah, tormenting Shady Side, who's like the lower end of the town. Because it's like two sides.
That was pure, like, I don't know if those are in the books, but I thought of The Simpsons. Like, I don't know if you remember the the episode with the, like, the lemon tree, right? And it's like, there's Springfield, and then I don't remember what the other town's called, but everyone in that other town is all super, like, uppity and arrogant, and like, we're better than you, Springfield, you're the trash side.
Right.
And I thought of that.
Well, it's also Archie, there's like the same thing too.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, there's, because there's...
Are they in the good town?
There's, well, Riverdale's like split into two as well. Yeah, and they do that on like the show as well.
Oh,
like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's like, Jughead is in like the... the shitty end of town, and they're like in the Serpents, and like, yeah.
Because I was gonna be like, if Veronica lives in the shitty side of town, I don't want to meet these other people at all.
No, it's just on the show, so I don't know. I feel like they took something from that as well.
But anyway, you were talking. Yeah. There's a bunch of different killers.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different killers, and they're like way more interesting. And I think that they might want to do spin-offs. Like, so Ruby Lane, I thought, was really, really cool. So she's, like, one, the one with, like, the straight razor, and she sings, like, the super creepy song, right?
Was she, like, 80s or something?
No, she's from the 60s.
Oh, okay, cool.
And then there's also the kid, Billy Barker, the child killer.
Very creepy.
And he has, like, a little bat.
And a weird creepy mask.
Weird doll mask.
And he brained his family in their bed while they slept.
Yeah.
Creepy looking.
Super creepy. And there's like the milkman.
Yeah, the burned head to toe milkman.
Yeah. Pretty freaky. And he's from the 50s.
I want that one.
Yeah.
Of all of them,
well, I want that one. So I was reading an article about it, and the director, she said that they're definitely doing like a 50s spinoff show. Or a movie or something like that. Okay. And I was like, as soon as you said 50s, I was like, she's going to do that Milkman spinoff.
He's creepy.
He's creepy, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so, the concept of the Milkman is, in our world today, is slightly strange. Just a weird man who delivers milk to your door.
Well, that reminded me of the Ice Cream Man, that comic, too.
Sure, sure.
Also scary.
Yeah,
also. Ice Cream Man's always scary.
Yeah.
Why is that creepy Spawn. Truck?
C-Spawn.
Right. C-Spawn, exactly.
Or Billy that. Kincaid. Scary.
I don't like that creepy song. So then, I know you haven't watched 1666, so I won't completely spoil it, but just...
You can.
well, I'll just start with this. You get to it, basically they use, like, all of the main characters come back and are, like, in the bodies of, like, the...
Oh, the actors.
The actors,
are portraying people in this... Okay.
Right. And they do old English accents or Irish accents.
Fun.
Woo, dog!
I'm sure it's definitely as good as The Witch.
It's way worse than that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, sarcasm.
And, it was hard. It was hard to get through the first, I would say, 20 minutes just listening to that alone. A lot of talking like this, up and down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but once you get past that, like, that story actually does get better.
Okay.
And you kind of just, I don't know, fall on deaf ears a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. You get to the story of Sarah Fear and, like, what actually happened, and she's actually not the bad guy, and you get a really good twist from that.
It's the rich people.
It's totally the rich people. It always is.
I knew it in the first movie. No. I was like, I know it's not this witch.
Yeah. And you get like a story, like she actually is LGBT and like has an affair, and that's why she's, you know, looked
branded
down upon.
As a witch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty much. Yeah. And
as we all are.
Right. I like that they played on that, you know, from the first movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, It wraps up, like, it's pretty long, too. It's, like, 2 hours, maybe 10 minutes, this is the last movie. And they go back to the present after we get the full story of Sarah. And wrap it up pretty tightly at the end. But then, of course, you get, like, a nice little twist again at the end where they're like, ooh, we could leave this open and do another one.
Of course.
Yeah.
There's a lot of years out there, folks.
Yeah.
you can call it Fear Street and a year. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Fear Street 2009.
Right. Well, there's like 9,000 books for them to do.
Yeah.
I have like I think we talked about it before. I have the cheerleader books, and I'm like, they got to do the cheerleader stories.
I mean, I guess my main disappointment with the whole thing was that they took all of these books and made it this, like, big, epic, like, legacy of darkness and supernatural, where most of those books are about, like, scary boyfriends or, like, a boss that's a scary, like, you know, like, real people who are threats.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would love to have more realistic. I get why they did it, but it was a little bit of, like, bringing in the Goosebumps sort of, or maybe Ghosts of Fear Street. I think that was the, like, the supernatural side of the Fear Street
right. books series. Yeah. Yeah, they could have just done it, like, well, this was, a, I guess, the cheerleader one's a possession one, too, but, yeah, they could have simplified it a little bit more.
Yeah, it was a lot. Like, they created a lot of lore to it, and I mean, it does get you to watch three movies.
Right.
Where if it was just like, is Tommy Doyle the killer? Like, it's like, maybe that wouldn't get me to watch three movies.
Yeah, exactly.
So I get why they did it. I hope now that people are hooked with it, they want more Fear Street, that it could be, like, I hope the next thing is not a trilogy. I hope it's like, bam, make 1955, boom, it's its own thing, it's its own story, don't show me 1994, just tell me that story. Then do a cheerleader one or the babysitter or whatever.
I think that's probably the plan. Well, that's what I got from the article I read on it anyways.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That would be fun. More horror stuff that's fun. That's what I want to watch. Lastly, just really quick, you guys want to... we'll always give horror recs. I watched Freaky on HBO Max. It's Vince Vaughn and Catherine Newton. Catherine Newton's literally in everything I've watched recently. it's a... Freaky Friday swapping body movie, hence Freaky. But she swaps body with a serial killer and then discovers she has 24 hours before the change becomes permanent.
And she's stuck as Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. No one ever wants to be stuck as Vince Vaughn. I don't even think Vince Vaughn wants to be stuck as Vince Vaughn.
He's okay. I don't know.
I think he's gotten better.
Yeah.
Right? For a while there, though, it was a little dicey.
Earmuffs.
Anyways, it was really, really good. Pretty fun. I watched, you know, one of more fun horror movies I've watched recently.
Yeah.
Last one I'm going to recommend is Blood Red Sky on Netflix. And it is one of the best vampire movies I've watched in a long time. Basically, it's a woman who starts becoming a vampire for reasons I won't spoil, has to go on a trip to America from Germany on a plane, and the plane gets taken over by terrorists.
Oh, okay.
Unfolds from there.
Cool.
But yeah, definitely great. Check it out.
All right. I like horror. Let's do that.
Yeah. I think that's it for today.
Yeah, I don't have anything else.
All right. Thanks for listening. I'm Jessica Baldoni.
I'm Robert Anguesco.
And we will talk to you guys soon. Thanks.
Bye.